بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلوات الله البر الرحيم، والملائكة المقربين، على سيدنا محمد أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين، وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our lesson tonight, we'll be discussing ash-shafa'ah, intercession. We have to believe that ash-shafa'ah is a true matter. Ash-shafa'ah, intercession, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it means asking of another a benefit for a third party. That when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intercedes for this nation, this is called ash-shafa'ah, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intercedes for this nation. The intercession on the Day of Judgment, ash-shafa'ah, is to make people relieved from the heat of the sun. And this is, that means this shafa'ah is for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, the non-believers will move from the heat of the sun, so they will move from that torture, which is the heat of the sun, to a torture that is more severe in hellfire. And among the types of a shafa'ah is a shafa'ah that would result in the coming out of some of the Muslim sinners who died without repentance from hellfire. So this is another type. The first type, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intercedes for people, and they will be relieved from the heat of the sun, because the sun will be very close from their heads in the hereafter. Now the distance between the sun and us is thousands of miles. In the hereafter it will be 1 mile. That will be very close. One of the scholars of Islam, to show how close the sun will be in the hereafter from their heads, he said, as if you can touch it by your hand. It's very close. So one of the types of the intercessions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that when he intercedes for people to be relieved from the heat of the sun, from the exposure to the sun, this is one of the types of the shafa'ah. The other type is when some of the Muslim sinners who died without repentance, will be admitted into hellfire, and they will be tortured in hellfire for a period of time. The Prophet will intercede for them, and they will be taken out of hellfire. This is another type of the intercession. And this type of intercession is not restricted to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, other prophets and other than the prophets might intercede that type of intercession. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يَخْرُجُ نَاسٌ مِّنَ النَّارِ بِشَفَاعَةِ مُحَمَّدٍ sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is narrated by Al-Bukhari. A group of people among the believers, but who died as great sinners, and from those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deemed them to be in hellfire for a period of time, they will be taken out of hellfire because of the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So after they are admitted into hellfire, they will be taken out. After they receive a portion of the torture, they will be taken out by the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's a benefit for them. Before they finish the period they deserve in hellfire, they will be taken out because of the intercession of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this could happen to other than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that type of intercession. From this hadith and others, we know firmly that some of the believers who died as sinners will be tortured in hellfire. This is definite. This is something that there is no doubt in it. That some Muslim sinners who died without repentance will be tortured in hellfire. This is something certain. There is no doubt about it. And this is known from this hadith and other similar hadith. So, we cannot make a dua, supplication, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all the Muslims from entering hellfire. Because some will enter hellfire definitely. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يَخْرُجُ نَاسٌ مِّنَ النَّارِ بِشَفَاعَةِ مُحَمَّدٍ. This means some Muslim sinners will be admitted into hellfire in the hereafter. Then after a while will be taken out by the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So from this hadith and other hadith as well, we know that some Muslim sinners will be tortured in hellfire in the hereafter. Of course, those who died without repentance. From here we know that we cannot make a supplication to Allah to protect all Muslims from entering hellfire. We cannot do this. Some people who claim to be following At-Tariqa Al-Qadiriyya, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani mythology, they follow the methodology of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani, but unfortunately they added false concepts to the tariqa methodology of Imam al-Shaykh Abd al-Qadir al-Jilani. They gather and they say that type of supplication, O Allah, protect us, our parents, and all the Muslims from hellfire. And this is forbidden. Such a supplication is forbidden. Why? Because we know definitely that not all Muslims will be saved from hellfire in the hereafter. Some will be tortured. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about a person, huwa finnar, he's in hellfire. He said, huwa finnar, he's in hellfire. And Prophet Muhammad doesn't lie, because he doesn't speak out of his own opinion. Rather, he tells people what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him. So when he says something like this, this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him that that person will be in hellfire in the hereafter. So we cannot say, oh Allah, protect all Muslims from entering into hellfire. We cannot say this. Because some will enter hellfire, definitely. This is understood from the hadith. Some will be tortured in hellfire, as understood from many hadith. So we cannot say, oh Allah, protect all Muslims from entering into hellfire. Those people in Algeria, in Syria, in Ethiopia, they gather between sunset and Maghrib and Isha, the nightfall prayer, and they say specific praises. Then after that, they say that phrase 7 times. They say, oh Allah, protect us, our parents, and all Muslims from entering into hellfire. They make that type of supplication, which is forbidden. This is because of the ignorance. These people are ignorant. Most of those who claim to be following a methodology of a righteous sheikh, like Sheikh Ahmad al-Rifa'i, Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, and Sheikh al-Dusuqi and al-Badawi and others, most of those who claim to be following these Sufi sheikhs, unfortunately, they do not acquire the knowledge which is considered as obligatory upon them. The personal obligatory knowledge, they do not acquire it. They remain ignorant. All what they do, they say, we make zikr, and that is enough for us. They hold the beads, and they start saying subhanallah, for instance. And most of them even do not praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by pronouncing the name of Allah in the right way. Many of them, instead of saying Allah, Allah, Allah in the zikr, they say, this is not the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ah is an expression in Arabic that is used when someone is in pain. When you are in pain, you say ah. And the scholars of Islam from the 4 schools of thought have a unanimous agreement that if someone is praying, and while praying he was in pain and said ah deliberately, that invalidates his prayer. How could it be one of the names of Allah? If you say Allah 100 times while praying, this doesn't invalidate your prayer. If you say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, this is zikr. And as-salah is a group of zikr. So if you say any type of zikr, this doesn't invalidate your prayer. You can say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, while standing, while sitting, while making ruku'ah, while making sujood, this doesn't invalidate your prayer because it is zikr. But if you say ah, they said, this invalidates your prayer. So it's not a name of Allah. And look at the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that were mentioned in one hadith. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever learns these 99 names and understands the meaning will have the good tidings to be in paradise in the hereafter. There is no ah among these names. Allah, that's the name of Allah. So, and this is called Ismullah al-A'zam. Allah is Ismullah al-A'zam, the greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah. So, how could ah be one of the names of Allah and it invalidates the prayer if it is said deliberately in the prayer? It's not among the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If those people would like to follow the methodology of the true Sufis, then they will acquire the knowledge about their religion and they will practice what they learn. They will fulfill the obligations and avoid the sins, and they know that first they have to acquire the knowledge by which they will be able to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong, what is blasphemous and what is faith, iman. That's a true belief and this is blasphemy. Many people do not know how to distinguish between blasphemy and the true belief, between what is haram and what is halal, between what is lawful and what is unlawful. They don't know because they didn't acquire the knowledge about religion to the extent that they will be able to distinguish between these things. Those people, they say these words, Allahumma ajirna wa ajir walidina wa ajir jami'a al-muslimin min an-nar. That's what they say. But maybe because of their extreme ignorance, they don't understand what they say. Because some Muslim sinners will be tortured in hellfire. This is well known. Not all the Muslims will be protected from entering into hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Allah doesn't forgive the one who associates partner with Allah if he dies while associating partner with Allah. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. And Allah forgives the sins that are less than blasphemy to those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for him. So some Allah willed for them to be forgiven in the hereafter, and others Allah didn't will for them to be forgiven. So we know definitely that some Muslims will be tortured in hellfire. We know definitely that some Muslims will be forgiven. So not all of them will be forgiven in the hereafter, and not all of the Muslim sinners will be tortured in hellfire in the hereafter. From the ayah we know that some will be forgiven, others will not. But we don't know who's going to be forgiven and who's going to be tortured. That's why you always should be in a state, in a case, between the despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also from a state where you feel safe of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You shouldn't feel safe of the torture in the hereafter if you commit sins. And also, you shouldn't despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should be in between. As Imam Ali radiallahu anhu said, إِنِّي إِذَا عَصَيْتُهُ خَشِيتُ عِقَابَهُ وَإِذَا أَطَعْتُهُ رجوت ثوابه. If I obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I hope to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا عَصَيْتُهُ خَشِيتُ عِقَابَهُ. If I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I fear His punishment. So in between. You don't say, if you commit a sin, that definitely Allah is going to forgive you in the hereafter. You do not say that Allah definitely is going to punish you in the hereafter. You don't know. We don't know who's going to be forgiven and who's going to be tortured in the hereafter. So the true Sufis are the ones who acquired the knowledge about religion. They fulfilled the obligations and avoided the sins. Those are the practicing Sufis, and from them were the famous righteous Muslims such as Imam Ahmad al-Rifa'i radiallahu anhu, Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, and the one of the famous ones, الإمام الشيخ الجنيد ابن محمد البغدادي رضي الله عنه. And as you can see, the meaning of true Sufis is those who acquire the knowledge about religion, they fulfilled the obligations and avoided the sins, and were very, very humble in this life. They didn't live a luxurious life in this world. Rather, they were satisfied with sometimes less than the basics. Very, very, very humble life. And they stayed away from at-tana'um. At-tana'um is to satisfy your desires with the lawful worldly pleasures, from food, from clothes, from the worldly pleasures, whether food or clothes, for instance. If you keep on following your desires to obtain these worldly pleasures, you like to eat several types of food and to wear also the new fashion every time. This is called tana'um. Now, if you are using halal money, if you are using halal money and you are not buying these clothes to show off and to show that you are different from others, they are lower than you, because you are conceited about this, if that's not your intention, it's not haram to buy every time new clothes and also to eat several types of food. But this is not the habit of the righteous Muslims. That's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, when the Prophet sent him to Yemen, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "O Mu'adh, stay away from at-tana'um. Stay away. Do not indulge in at-tana'um. Do not follow your desires to eat several types of food and to wear different types of clothes. Do not follow your desires to satisfy yourself with the worldly pleasures in this life." Then the Prophet said, "Because the righteous slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are very humble and they do not indulge in at-tana'um." That means they do not seek the worldly pleasures, of course the halal one, the lawful worldly pleasures, from different types of food and clothes, it just to enjoy and to feel the enjoyment in this life. They don't like this, the righteous Muslims. For instance, take for an example, Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah Azza wa Jal made the jinn, the believers and non-believers, even the devils, serve him. So they used to serve him. They used to get him the treasures from the bottom of the oceans. They used to travel for him and obey him all the time. And they used to be scared if they disobey him, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that power, that if they disobey him, immediately a torture will come down on that person, on that devil that disobeys Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. Prophet Sulaiman, because of the wealth that he had at his time, he built 1,000 crystal palaces at his time. 1,000 palaces made of crystal. And he used to slaughter every day, 30,000 bulls for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And 100,000 sheep. And he used to feed the poor people at that time. So all this meat were under his control. All that wealth was under his control. But he used to eat the bread that is made of barley. You know, the barley, it's not like the wheat. It's very rough. It's not as clean as the bread that is made of wheat. And he used to eat the yogurt that is sour. So with that bread made of barley and the sour yogurt, he used to be satisfied. Although he was able to eat different types of meat, he was able to live in different palaces, but he chose to live that humble life. And this is because he doesn't want to be among those who follow their desires and they want to fulfill their desires and satisfy themselves of the worldly pleasures. He didn't want to be one of them. And all the prophets were like this. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give people meat, used to slaughter some sheep and feed people, but for himself, he used to eat dates and drink water. Most of his food was that. Water and dates. He used to stay sometimes for 1 and 2 months without cooking any food in his house. So for 2 months, he used to stay without eating that hot food. Now here we drink coffee and drink and hot chocolate and different types of hot food, like drink. And also, they eat the food that is very hot also, with lamb in it, and spices, and chili, and whatever. They decorate the food too much. Can they stay for 1 week without eating anything cooked? Let us say they eat dates and drink water, or for instance, biscuit and drink water for 1 week. They find it very difficult. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stay for 1 month, sometimes 2 months, without cooking any food in his house. That's not easy. And when he used to get the meat, he used to give them away. One day he brought a sheep to Aisha, his wife. Then he went, then came back. He asked Aisha, what is the sheep? She was happy, very excited. She said, all gone except for the arm. That means she donated the whole sheep for the sake of Allah to the poor people, except for the arm. She kept the arm. She said, all gone except for the arm. Then the Prophet looked at her and said, all stayed except for the arm. He meant by this, what you donated for the sake of Allah, that what will remain for you in the hereafter. But what you keep for yourself and eat, that will go. You won't benefit from it, like in the hereafter. Unless when you eat and you intend by your eating that you want to be stronger, so you can perform more acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that way, when you eat and you want to perform more acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, put in your heart the intention that you are eating for that purpose. And in that case, you get rewards. But that doesn't mean you eat and eat, then you suffer. You suffer and you need hospital, then you say, I'm eating because I want to do more acts of obedience. Now you can do nothing now, they take you to the hospital. No, you eat what you think is essential for your body and train yourself, discipline yourself. Because if you don't eat except meat, for instance, okay, when there is no meat, what are you going to do? You steal? If you cannot afford buying meat, what are you going to do? That's why you need to train yourself. Look at Umar radiallahu anhu, that great ruler and the role model for the Muslims of this nation. He was the ruler at his time, and he used to eat the oil. You know, the olive oil, he used to eat the olive oil until his stomach used to rumble a lot, and he can hear these sounds coming out of his stomach. It's rumbling. Oil, 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 what are you going to expect? Then one day he knocked on his stomach by his finger, and he spoke to his stomach. He said, you are rumbling, O my stomach. I swear by Allah, you won't get other than the oil unless all people are satisfied. So he refused to eat meat when there are other people cannot afford to buy meat. But some people who used to eat meat, but they at a point of time were unable to buy meat, they came to him one day, they said, oh Umar, save us. He said, what's wrong? They said, the price of the meat is very high now. Then Umar said, make it low. Reduce the price. They were complaining because the price was very dear at that time, the price of the meat. He said, reduce it, reduce the price. They said, how can we reduce the price of the meat? He said, do not eat meat. So if you don't eat meat, you stop eating meat, those tradespeople will feel obliged to reduce the price of the meat. But not all people, subhanAllah, train themselves to live the life the prophets used to live and the righteous Muslims used to live. Umar radiallahu anhu one day said, اخشوشنوا وتمعددوا اخشوشنوا وتمعددوا. He meant by this, follow the life style of Ma'ad ibn Adnan. He used to live a very, very humble life, and also it was very rough to an extent that he used not to give any attention to the worldly pleasures, and he used to get satisfied with what he gets from the sustenance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides him with. So he wasn't a person who was keen to fulfill his desires, no. He was keen to be more humble. So this is the meaning of the saying of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. So in that meaning, when you talk about Sufis, the true Sufis, Umar ibn al-Khattab was a true Sufi. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was a true Sufi. Uthman, Ali, and other companions. The master of the Sufis of this nation is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when you define Sufism as acquiring the knowledge about religion, fulfilling the obligations, avoiding the sins, and not to indulge in the worldly pleasures, to be satisfied with what is essential for your body of the food. This is called Sufism. In that meaning, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the master of Sufis. He's the master of Sufis. Imam al-Junaid said, "As-Sufiyyu man labisa as-sufa 'ala as-safa." The true Sufi is the one who wears the clothes made of wool, but not the smooth one now they make. Now it's very expensive. In the past used to be very rough, that wool. And those who used to be like poor, maybe they used to wear these clothes made of wool. So he said, a Sufi, the true Sufi is the one who wears the clothes made of wool while having a very clean heart, pure heart. And he's the one who follows the methodology of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he's the one who self-disciplined himself well, and he chucked the world behind his back. That means the worldly pleasures. He doesn't care about them. This is the true Sufis. Going back to our discussion about al-Shafa'a, so we know that some will be relieved from the heat of the sun because of the intercession of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is not only for this nation, for all the nations. And the other type of shafa'a Prophet Muhammad will be given is when some of the Muslim sinners who will be admitted into hellfire for a period of time will be taken out before they finish the period of time they deserve. They will be taken out of hellfire because of the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And those who are in need to the intercession are the great sinners, not the pious ones. The pious Muslims, the righteous Muslims, are not in need to the intercession in the hereafter because they will enter paradise by their deeds. They've done a lot of good deeds in this life that would qualify them to enter paradise without receiving any torture. But those who are in need to the intercession are the Muslim sinners. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Shafa'ati li ahli al-kaba'ir min ummati." This hadith narrated by Ibn Hibban clearly states that the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is for who? For whom? For those who are great sinners. And this hadith shows that other than the Muslim sinners are not in need to the intercession. So the intercession for some people will be before they enter hellfire, and for others will be after they go to hellfire. So this is these are the types of the intercession. For some, before they enter hellfire. What happens when they receive that intercession? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam intercedes for them in the hereafter, some will not be tortured at all. They will be forgiven. And they were among those who deserve to be tortured in hellfire, but because of the intercession of the Prophet, they won't be tortured. They will be saved by the intercession of the Prophet. This is one type. Now, for other type of people, they will go to hellfire, they will receive torture there, but before they finish the period they deserve, they will be taken out of hellfire and be admitted into paradise because of the intercession of the Prophet. So the intercession is of two types: before entering hellfire for some, and after entering hellfire for others. But the non-believers will never have intercession from anyone. nor from prophets, nor from angels, nor from practicing scholars. They won't receive the benefit of the intercession from anyone, because they were non-believers. As Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا لِمَنْ يَرْتَضَى وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا لِمَنْ يَرْتَضَى. That means the intercession will be only for those who were believers, those who chose to follow the religion of Islam and chose to be Muslims all the time, and they died as Muslims, those deserve the intercession if they died as sinners. But as we mentioned, if they died as pious Muslims, righteous Muslims, they are not in need to the intercession. And for those who repented before their death, although they used to commit major sins in this life, those who used not to pray, not to fast, they used to drink alcohol, they used to gamble, for instance, they used to fornicate, then they repented to Allah, a proper repentance before death. All these sins will be wiped out. If they die afterwards, those people also are not in need to the intercession, because their repentance was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a proper one, a valid one, and because it's a valid repentance, it wipes out all the past sins they repented from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever merciful. Every time you repent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipes out your past sins you repented from. So you're not only given, let us say, one chance or two chances or three in this life. No, as long as you are alive, every time you commit a sin, if you repent, that proper repentance, that sin will be wiped out. Then if you come back and you do it, then you repent from a proper repentance, that repentance will wipe out that sin, and so on. But you need to keep in mind that some people, let us say, might gamble and lose the money, and they walk out crying, and they regret having gone inside that place. But they are not crying out of their fear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not crying because they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're crying because they lost their money. This is not a repentance. It's not considered as a repentance. So those people didn't repent. In reality, based on the rules of our religion, they didn't repent. Also, a person might say, that's it, I'm not going to play, I'm not going to gamble this week. Not before next month. So this person has the intention to commit that sin in the future. That means his repentance is invalid. But we're talking about the one who regretted having done the sin and had stopped doing the sin completely, and had the intention not to commit that sin again. If he satisfies these three conditions, his repentance will be accepted. Now, on top of that, if the sin he committed was because he left an obligation, such as he didn't pray, he didn't fast, he has to make them up. If his sin was related to the rights of people, like he swore at someone unrightfully, unjustly, he hit someone unjustly, he took the money of someone unjustly, he has to go to that person asking for forgiveness. And if he took money from others, he need to either return the money back or ask them to forgive him for taking the money from them unjustly. This is a fourth condition in such a case. When there is a right, that and that right is one of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like prayer and fasting, He has to make them up. And if that right pertains to people, He has also to either ask them for forgiveness or pay them back what He took from them. So the one who repents a proper repentance before his death and dies after that, this person will not be tortured in the hereafter. If he repents from all the sins. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the first one to intercede on the day of judgment. He is awwal shafa. And he's the first one from whom intercession is going to be accepted. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he's the one to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the greatest intercession, al-shafa' al-uzma. And it was named as such, al-shafa' al-uzma, the greatest intercession, because it's not restricted to the nation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that type of intercession is to relieve people from the heat of the sun when they are exposed to the sun in the hereafter. And that is when they are assembled. Because people on the day of judgment, when they are in the assembly place and they are exposed to the heat of the sun and they suffer a lot from that, they say, let us go to our father Adam. Maybe he will intercede for us. He will ask Allah to relieve this distress. Then they go to Adam alayhi salam. They say to him, O Adam, you are the father of mankind. Allah created you with a great care from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah made the angels make sujood to you, prostrate to you, out of glorification and salutation. Maybe you can intercede for us. Ask Allah and maybe you can intercede for us. Then Adam says to them, I'm not the one you're looking for. Go to Prophet Nuh, Noah. They go to Prophet Nuh. They ask him the same. And he says, I'm not the one you're looking for. Go to Prophet Ibrahim. They go to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he says to them, I'm not the one you're looking for. Go to Prophet Moses alayhi salam. They go to Prophet Moses and he says the same, I'm not the one you're looking for. Go to Prophet Isa. They go to Prophet Isa alayhi salam, and he says to them, I'm not the one you're looking for. Go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That one, they go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They ask him to intercede for them. Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam would make prostration on the ground, sujood. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will be asked, lift up your head, ask, you'll be given what you ask for, and intercede for people, and you'll be granted that great intercession. And then he will be granted that greatest intercession by which all the believers from this nation and the previous nations will benefit from. And this type of shafa'a, which is a shafa'a al-uzma, will not be given to other than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So it's specific for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And a shafa'a, as we mentioned, intercession, is only for the believers. And this is the meaning of the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to his daughter Fatima. Ya Fatima bint Muhammad, salini ma shi'ti min mali, la ughni anki min Allahi shay'a. Narrated by Al-Bukhari. This hadith means, if you are not a believer, although I'm your father, but I can do nothing for you in the hereafter. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is even talking to his daughter Fatima, informing her that if she dies as a non-Muslim, Prophet Muhammad, the best of Allah's creation, can do nothing to her. That's why the non-believers will not be forgiven in the hereafter, and also no one among the prophets, the righteous Muslims, the practicing scholars, or the angels would intercede for these people. They would be deprived from the intercession in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the intercession of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make Prophet Muhammad intercede for us so we enter paradise without receiving any torture, inshallah. We ask Allah to assemble us under the shade of the arsh, in the shade of the arsh in the hereafter, where there is no shade except of the shade of the arsh. And we ask Allah to make us die as righteous Muslims, inshallah ta'ala, ameen. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.